Don't worry. I know some of you do crock pot cooking. So if you're already going, well, my crock pot's only got so much time, that's all right. I think I'm so thankful, Brother Peter, thank you for coming and sharing this morning. It is just such a blessing for us to remember. And I hope you're praying for our Corinne congregation. I hope you're praying for them regularly. I'm so thankful for Pastor S.A. Waugh and the leadership he has and the people there and what they're doing. So be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for them regularly. This morning, we're going to briefly talk because you know what? I think it's best that we have an abbreviated time. Sometimes it can be easy for me to overcomplicate a message. You know, it only took Jesus about 37 seconds to probably say what I would preach over 30 minutes. But I think it's important that we have the application. I think that's important. And this morning I want to talk about criticism or correction. There's a lot of misquoted verses out there. You know a lot of them. 1 John 4:8 gets quoted a lot, that God is love. You ever heard that one quoted before by someone who couldn't spell Jesus if you spotted him, J-E-S? Yeah, that's been out there a few times. But 1 John 4:8 doesn't just say God is love. It says anyone who does not love does not know God. It's not just about God being love, it's about us loving because he loves. Romans 8:28, you've heard that before. All things work for good. Yes, for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And the most famous one, Matthew 7:1, you hear this all the time. Don't judge. Don't judge me. But Matthew 7:1 says more than that. It just says, don't judge lest you be judged. And there's something important in that. And of course, I thought of the great theologian Inigo Montoya. Some of you know who this is. And I think Inigo Montoya, when he's heard a few of these verses, said, you know, brother, I don't think that verse means what you think it means. And that's what we're going to take a look at this morning. If you didn't get that, go rent The Princess Bride later and be blessed, okay? Take a look, Matthew chapter 7. Let's read verses 1 through 2 this morning. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus continuing to preach, judge not that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, this is why a lot of people say, don't judge. Well, how can you tell me what's right for my life and what's wrong for my life? Maybe you better take a look at your own life. Exactly. That's what this whole thing is all about. But we live in America. We live in America where everyone's right. I just do how I do it, and you do what you do, and if it's making you happy, and this is making me happy, what's your problem? The problem is, God's got a problem. God's got a problem with the choices being made. So you can say, well, you know, everyone's right, but no, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So no, we can't all be right. That's the fallacy of America. Everyone's right. No. I know 2 plus 2 equals 4. It took a long time. But I know that. If you say 2 plus 3 equals 4, you're wrong. And if you say that the opposite of what God says is right or wrong, then you're wrong. Not because I say so or because the church says so, but because God says so. So if you know there's something in your life that is wrong, a choice you're making that is wrong, listen, it's wrong. Doesn't matter how long you've been living with it. Doesn't matter how long you've been arguing away that it's not wrong. It's wrong. Scripture is not telling us here, Matthew chapter 7, to be silent about sin. Nowhere does Matthew chapter 7 say, be silent about sin. You can argue with me later, at least take me out to lunch. But you're going to lose, all right? All right, so Jesus is really referring not to not judging, but he's referring more to the manner in which we judge. This word, do not judge, is a Greek word, krino. It's actually where we get our word critic. Now, do you get this a little bit more? Jesus is saying, don't be a critic unless you're ready to be criticized back. He's talking about the manner in which we approach people. Is sharp criticism helpful to anybody? No. You see someone doing something, you walk up to them and say, hey, you're doing that wrong, you idiot. That's not going to get you anywhere. But if you go up and say, you're doing that wrong, can I help you? Can I show you how to do that right? You know some people in your life that have shown you how to do it right? Thankful for those people. You were doing it one way, and then you realize you need to do it another way. Because listen, verse 1 is not, I'm okay, you're okay theology. You do what you want to do, I'll do what I want to do, and we'll all just be fine. Really what it's saying, and Jesus is saying, don't judge, disciple. Disciple people. In fact, I always tell people if I'm doing like, premarital counseling or different kinds of counseling. Really, I'm not being a counselor. I'm being a discipler. Pastor Lee, my senior pastor at my last church, his wife often said she loved it when he did marriage counseling with people, because he tended to come home a better husband himself. And he would say that too. He'd say, boy, you know, I was going in, I was ready to tell someone, give them the what for, and I realized I needed a little bit of a what for myself. And that's what we do when we're discipling, when we are caring about one another. So, you know, as a pastor, if I ever come to you and say, hey, listen, there's something in your life that's off kilter from Scripture, I hope you know it's because I love you and not because I'm mad at you. It's because there's a better choice. Sin never blesses your life. It never blesses your life. You might be able to pull off something at work and steal $1 million from work, and it's not going to bless your life. You've got to make a choice. Jesus is really telling us, not that we shouldn't judge, not that we shouldn't call attention to sin. He's saying, log first, speck second. Let's take a look at this. Let's take a look there, Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. He says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? My daughter Caitlin's going to help me out this morning. Come here, Caitlin. Now, I told you you wouldn't have to say anything this morning, but I want you to go ahead and recite the Gettysburg Address. I'm kidding. Okay. This is Caitlin's speck. You can't see it very well. I got a little toothpick here. Can you hold that? All right. Don't stick it in your eye. Turn. Let people see you. Okay. This is my daughter Caitlin. She's wonderful. Oh, I thought you were bowing. You dropped your toothpick. Okay. It's like, don't go crazy. All right. So, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye? Look at verse 4. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So Caitlin's got a little speck there. Now, when it says log, it's literally talking about something. Hello, high screen. It's talking about something that's like a foundational pillar. Something she'd put down, it's not easy to pick up, okay? Now, I'm not going to carry a log, but I got this. This is my log this morning, okay? This is my log. It's just big enough to be kind of annoying. Now, there's some problems with it. Now, Jesus is using a ridiculous metaphor. He's talking about looking, hold up your speck. Here's my log. Hold it up higher, like Statue of Liberty high. There you go, good job. All right, so she's got her speck, and I got my log here. And Jesus is saying, why are you making a bigger deal out of that than out of that? Amen. Why is this not registering with you? Here's the point. There's a couple problems with this thing. Okay, now take your speck, put it in your eye. Now don't stab yourself in the eye. We've taken you to the ER enough in your life, okay? But there's some issues with this log, okay? Number one, if I got a log in my eye, I can't see my daughter very well. I can't see much of anything very well. That's one of the first problems with the log. One of the second problems, you can't get very close to people. When you got sin in your life, when I have sin in my life, do you think it affects me and my wife? Even if it's not sin directly towards her? Yes, if I'm being a selfish jerk, that puts separation between my wife and I. And here's the third and biggest problem with it. It's sin. If you leave it there, you're saying sin is okay. And it's not. If sin were okay, Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross. It's not okay. So you've got to decide, hold it up again, Caitlin. You've got to decide which is really the big deal. Is it this or is it this? But here's the point, though. Jesus isn't minimizing this, because what is this still? Yes, it's still sin. You're a sinner. So am I, Caitlin. It's okay. It's still sin. So he's not saying this isn't important. He's saying what? Remove the log out of your own eye first. What is it a call to? It's a call to self-examination. You can have a seat. Thank you, Caitlin. It's a call to self-examination. The Bible does not say, see sin in someone's life and just ignore it because, oh my goodness, they might say something to you. Praise God they might say something. Praise God they might acknowledge that there's something in your life that needs to be changed. And Jesus is saying, don't ignore the speck, But don't ignore the log. It can be so easy to justify our sin and criticize others for theirs, isn't it? Well, the reason I did that is because blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. Nothing we ever will say will ever make God go, oh, okay, well, yeah, you go ahead and keep doing that sin. I'll take care of everybody else, though. No, and Jesus warns that we don't need a bunch of verse 4 Christians. What does it say there in verse 4? How can you say, let me take the speck out of your eye? What is he saying? No, we need to take the log out of ours, the sin in our life first, identify it and remove it. And it's not so then I can go up and actually take it from Caitlin or take it from whoever, but so I can teach them to remove it themselves. Through the power of Jesus, they can know they can defeat sin. You know the worst part about Christianity sometimes is when people forget that they do have power over sin through Jesus. It breaks my heart when someone says, well, you know what? I've got this anger and I just can't get over it. I want everything in the world and I just can't get over it. Well, that's not true because Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And he's overcome the emotions and he's overcome the sin, and we need to start calling sin, sin. And we need to say, you know what? This isn't anger in my life. This is sin. This isn't just some off-kilter thing in my life. This is sin. And so Jesus is saying, are you criticizing or are you correcting? Correction is a loving thing. Correction is something that should happen in the American church. I am trying to say more and more. We talk about church discipline. I have a friend who's a pastor in Alabama. Brother Smothers is his name. Benjamin Smothers. I miss saying Brother Smothers on a regular basis. But Brother Smothers, I said, Ben, is there anything going on I can pray for you about? I just pick random pastors during the week. And he said, well, we're getting ready to go through church discipline. And I thought about that again. We don't need to think of it as church discipline because Jesus says the purpose of it is to bring someone back. So it's not really church discipline, it's church discipling. You're trying to teach them why the sin is wrong and bring them back. Galatians 6:1 talks about this a little bit more. If you say, well, no, the Bible's saying don't judge. You can't talk to me about my sin. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, that means you who spiritually care, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. And this goes right back to what Jesus was saying, and keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So what is he saying? He's saying, yes, if you see a brother or a sister in Christ who is in sin, don't ignore it. But I don't want to do it. What if they get mad at me? Listen, if you go with an attitude of correction and not criticism, an attitude to show them that you want to see God's best in their life and not the world's worst, if you go with the right attitude, that's when you can be a discipler. That's when you can see change happen. Because he says, how do we do it? With a spirit of gentleness. We want to see them restored. If I find out someone in our church is in sin, I don't go, well, doggone it, I'm going to go down there and take the board of correction upon the seat of education and all this stuff. No, I'm not going to do all that. Okay, I think I got that messed up. It doesn't really matter, okay? What's important is if I see someone who's in sin, I'm thinking, I want them to know the freedom that they can have. I want them to know that there's something better. I want them to know that what they're living in is not something God's just given them, it's something they're choosing for themselves. And that God has something so much better. How do we do it? Log first, speck second. Is Jesus saying ignore the speck? No, he's saying examine yourself first. You know, I oftentimes ask, God, help me to see my own sin. Do you ever find sometimes it's hard to see your own sin even though it's a stinking log in your eye? Yeah. So we take that psalm moment, that Lord, search my heart, show me if there be any wicked way in me. We do that first. And then when we know someone's in sin, we pray and say, God, prepare their heart and prepare me to be able to go and share with gentleness. gentleness, that God loves them, that God wants better, and God wants more for them. Listen, it's not a full-time job. And that's what's soured some people on doing this. Some people are just constantly looking for other people's specs. Where someone says, well, if you bring it up in this person's life in the church, are we all on trial? Well, technically, aren't we all on trial every day? I mean, we're all supposed to be under examination every day. There's not a day goes by we should be like, well, today I'm not going to worry about my sin. Every day it matters. This morning, some of you may be unbelievers. It's so great to hear the work going on in Myanmar and to see people who feel hopeless and ashamed, maybe suffering with HIV, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone telling them, listen, there's more, there's better. Listen, this morning, if you're in this sanctuary and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, let me tell you, there's more and there's better. And there is no life and no way to heaven except that you would recognize you're a sinner and ask Jesus to step in to be the substitute and the covering for your sin. You can't do enough good stuff. You can't have enough people come and point out your specs over years and years and years, and you try to correct enough specs that God will let you into heaven. There'll always be one more speck. Jesus loves you so much that he saw that you're a sinner, he saw that I'm a sinner, and he still died for us. And if we'll accept his death as the punishment for our sins, we don't have to go to hell. But it's more than that. It's not just not going to hell. It's not just going to heaven. It's about having a new life with God. And let me tell you, it's awesome and it's better than what you have now. You say, you don't know my life. Listen, it's better. I know my life. I know what Jesus has done for me. This morning, if you are a believer and you have a brother or sister that's got a speck, it is still sin. It doesn't mean you have to hunt down everybody and figure out what's wrong with their lives. What's Jesus called us to do? Check our lives. So if you see someone and you know that they've got something in their life that is tearing their life apart, and they claim Jesus, examine yourself first and then go to them. Verse 5 says, if you do that in the right way, you have clear vision. You know why? The blessing is I've gone to people and said, listen, I know what you're dealing with. You know how? Because I dealt with it. And here's how God helped me overcome it. That's something that can bless somebody. But if you're just coming and saying, you're a sinner and you need to just fix it, that's not what God's calling us to do. Jesus is the only one that can fix it anyway. Maybe you realize you just need to have a closer relationship with the Lord. Distance between you and God brings many a speck and many a log. And if you leave them unchecked, you will be blinded, separated from people, and the worst part is you just have sin running rampant in your body. And 1 Corinthians 6 says, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You've been bought at a price. This morning, I'd like for us to take some time and consider how the Lord may be speaking to us. I'd like to ask everyone to stand as we enter into a time of just self-examination. Thank you for your patience this morning. This morning, let's just go into a time of prayer and examination this morning. The first thing I ask is this. Is there someone in here who has never given their life to Jesus Christ? You know that if you stood before God today, that you'd be standing alone, and that the weight of your sin would bring eternal hell and eternal death and eternal condemnation. The Bible says Jesus loves you and he will pay for your sins if you're willing to come to him. If you're a believer who's been critical and criticizing, not just helping to correct and disciple, commit to be different this morning. Commit that you're not about finding fault, but you're about building disciples. This morning, perhaps God's laying on your heart to join our church. You need a place to serve. Let this be your place. Whatever the case may be this morning, if you have a decision, something you know God wants you to do, I encourage you to step out of that, out of your chair, come down forward, talk with me. visit with me. Otherwise, be in prayer right there for what God has said to you and for what God is saying to others. But if you have a decision, this is your moment, so don't waste it. This morning, is there somebody who recognizes that their sin has separated them from God and they need Jesus? If that's you, I just encourage you, just lift up your hand in acknowledgement. Is there someone here this morning that says, I need to give my all to Jesus. I need to surrender all. Is there somebody this morning that that's you? Then this morning, with no one looking around, not even me, if God spoke to your heart, believer, that you needed to start coming more with an attitude of correction, not criticism, if you were convicted this morning that you need to do more self-examination than others' examination, just acknowledge that before the Lord. Just raise your hands to Him and say, God, I just acknowledge this morning that I need to start taking a deeper look at my own life so that I might be a blessing and a discipler to others. Father God, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you that this was your worship service. We don't want to come to church. We want to come to worship. God, I lift up our brothers and sisters in Myanmar. I lift up Peter and the work that he's doing there. God, I pray that you bring the blessing. I pray that you'd meet the need. I pray that you would show that you're God everywhere. Lord, I pray for those within this sanctuary this morning. Maybe there are some who didn't feel comfortable saying yes to you. I pray that you'd show them there's no one else to say yes to. And Lord, for those of us who've been convicted to live a life as a discipler this morning, Lord, let us live that life out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.